The book of Judges, the third chapter, the very last verse of the third chapter, which we didn't cover last time, verse 31. That's where we left off 2 weeks ago before Family Bible Week, and now we're going to start back up right there. I've got a very long title for you for today's message. Hey, Luke, help me out. I'm not getting it. Thank you. Here's the title. Run to the Battle, Shamgar, Deborah, Barak, and Jael. I tried to think of something shorter, but this was as good as I could do. Run to the Battle, Shamgar, Deborah, Barak, and Jael. These are the good guys and good gals in the stories we're about to read in Judges 3:31. Through 5:31. And one common denominator that runs through these stories is the theme of battles and whether or not someone runs toward them or away from them. We'll see what I mean by that as we go through it. The exhortation for today is when God calls you, run to the battle. Have you found Judges 3:31? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. It's so interesting when we start to get in it, and we start to meander down the verses, start to inhabit its pages, we find so many fascinating things. Some we understand and some that are hard to understand. And I pray, Father, that your Spirit that inspired these words would illumine our hearts, that we would better understand what we see here, and more than that, that we would be open to it, that we would be changed, that we would, at the end of the day, be motivated and inspired to run to the battle that you're calling us to. We pray it in the name of Jesus, who did it for us. Amen. Judges 3:31 is the one-sentence story of the judge named Shamgar. If there was somebody who didn't run from a battle, it was Shamgar. Let's read. Thank you, Bob. Let's read his one sentence story. Judges 3:31. After Ehud came Shamgar, son of Anath, who struck down 600 Philistines with an ox goad. He too saved Israel. Now there's a lot in that one verse. Obviously, Ehud has died. We learned about Ehud, the left-handed judge, 2 weeks ago. The land had 80 years of peace under Ehud, but then Ehud died. And obviously, Israel was oppressed again. What we have seen again and again, the cycle of the judges. Now, this doesn't say in 3:31 that they cried out, but it says that the Philistines needed struck down, and God sent Shamgar, son of Anath. This is God sends a deliverer, and peace follows. Verse 31 says, he too saved Israel. Most scholars believe that Shamgar was not a native Israelite. His name is not Hebrewish, it's Hurrian. But verse 31 says, he too saved Israel. How did he do it? He took a common farm tool and went to battle. An ox goad was a long stick, kind of like a paddle on one side, with a sharp point on the other, used to poke the oxen to get them where you wanted them to go. Shamgar used it like a weapon and killed 600 men with it. I think we're supposed to assume that this was at one time, in one battle. Can you imagine the action movie of that battle? For that one day at least, Shamgar was the superhero of Israel. Avengers, eat your heart out. He was the savior of Israel. Point number one of just three this morning. Remember that God is doing more than we can see. Remember that God is doing more than we can see. Now, why do I say that? Because most of us have no idea who Shamgar was. In fact, even if we have this verse memorized, we still have very little idea of who Shamgar really was. He was probably a legend in his own time. The little Jewish kids ran around with, I want to be like Shamgar on their t-shirts. He killed 600 men with a pitchfork. Chuck Norris, eat your heart out. But we don't know that much about him. We'll see his name one more time in the whole Bible today in chapter 5. And we learn that his judgeship must have overlapped with Deborah's and Barak's. Shamgar was probably mostly in the south, and Deborah and Barak were mostly in the north. But Shamgar is mostly a nobody to us. But he was a somebody to God. And God used him mightily to save Israel. I take great comfort from that because I am a virtual nobody. And yet I know that God can use me. I expect to disappear from human history in at least 3 generations. Nobody on earth will remember me in 120 years if the Lord tarries that long. My mom likes genealogy. I'll just be a name in someone's genealogy. Matt Shamgar Mitchell. You didn't know that was my middle name. But to God, I'm a somebody that He loves and can use and then be forgotten, but not by Him. Does that help you? Remember that God is up to more than we can see, more than we remember. Right now, around the world, God is writing little one-sentence Shamgar stories through people's lives. We don't see them. We don't hear these stories. They're not reported on CNN, Fox News, or CBS. But God is doing more than we can see. And in His power, mighty things are accomplished in His power. Amen? What's our job? Run to the battle. That brings us to chapters 4 and 5 and the story of Deborah and Barak. Chapter 4, verse 1. After Ehud died, the Israelites once again did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord sold them into the hands of Jabin, a king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Harosheth Hagoyim. Because he had 900 iron chariots and had cruelly oppressed the Israelites for 20 years, they cried to the Lord for help. Stop there for just a second. Notice again that it says that Ehud died. This was during, apparently, the same period as Shamgar. The Israelites once again did evil in the Lord's eyes. In other words, they fell into idolatry. And God cared. God is jealous for their affections and won't let them get away with it. They are His people. And so they were sold into the hands of Jabin, a Canaanite king. This is the cycle of the judges again. Luke, I'm not getting it. Next slide. Thank you. The cycle of the judges. For Jabin has a top generalissimo named Sisera, who has a fleet of tanks, mobile killing machines called iron chariots, and he's got 900 of them. And for 20 long years, they run roughshod over Israel. And, cycle of the judges, Israel cried to the Lord for help. So, they did evil. The anger of the Lord burned against them. He gives them to Jabin. They cry for help. And God sent this time a team of judges. And the first one mentioned is a classy lady named Deborah. Deborah is the classiest lady in the book of Judges, and probably the classiest character, under the Lord, in the whole book of Judges. Verse 4. Deborah, a prophetess, that's important, the wife of Lapidoth, was leading Israel at that time. She held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the Israelites came to her to have their disputes decided. When I was finishing up seminary and looking to find a church to pastor, I was contacted by an EFCA church in Pennsylvania that was looking for a pastor. And one of the leaders of this church, the contact person of the search committee, sent me an email with one question. Who was the wife of Lapidoth? And then it said, and if you have to look it up, then you maybe aren't as smart as you think you are. Maybe you've still got a thing or two to learn, preacher boy. Needless to say, I didn't end up going to that church. I'm glad this church didn't have a Bible trivia test to take to get this job, but I've been ready ever since. So if anyone asks you, who is the wife of Lapidoth? You answer, this extraordinary prophet lady, Deborah. Deborah was the only female judge, at least that's mentioned. There may be judges we don't even know about. Shamgar gets one verse, and he killed 600 men with a farm implement. There might have been other things going on we don't know about. But Deborah's the only female judge mentioned in the book of Judges. And people came to her for a word from God and for wisdom that only God can provide. Verse 5 says, they came to her to have their disputes decided. That is, they came for a decision, for a judgment. And Deborah sent for Barak. Verse 6. She sent for Barak, son of Abinoam, from Kedesh in Naphtali, and said to him, the Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go, take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun, and lead the way to Mount Tabor. I will lure Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his troops, to the Kishon River, and give him into your hands. Now, don't look at verse 8. What should verse 8 say? What should it say? Deborah has been leading Israel. Israel's oppressed. Deborah is wise. Deborah is, verse 4, a prophetess speaking for the Lord. What should Barak say? He should say, we're on our way, ma'am. Run to the battle. God says, go, we're on our way. But what does verse 8 say? Barak said to her, if you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go. Barak hesitates. Barak, we see, is no Othniel. Remember Othniel from 4 weeks ago? He's not even an Ehud. The quality of the judges keeps going down from here on out. The downward spiral is not just the nation, but the judges too. Now, Deborah is stellar. But Barak hesitates. He wants assurance. He wants Deborah, a lady, to go with him, to assure him that things will go well in battle. If you go with me, I will go, but if you don't go with me, I won't go. Verse 9, very well, Deborah said, I will go with you. But because of the way you are going about this, the honor will not be yours, for the Lord will hand Sisera over to a woman. Now at this point, we assume that's probably Deborah herself. Though she is not going to fight, Deborah is not a warrior princess. She is a prophetess. So Deborah went with Barak to Kedesh, where he summoned Zebulun and Naphtali. 10,000 men followed him, and Deborah also went with him, and they ran to the battle. Side note, verse 11. Now Heber the Kenite had left the other Kenites, the descendants of Hobab, Moses' brother-in-law, and pitched his tent by the great tree in Za'ananim near Kedesh. Now that sounds like a what? But hold on to this verse, this one verse story, because it's going to come into play in just a little bit. It's foreshadowing. Heber the Kenite. Remember the Kenites? Caleb was a Kenite. Aksa was a Kenite in chapter 1. Othniel was a Kenite. They were attached to the tribe of Judah, although they are actually non-Israelites by DNA and lineage. Heber has left the Kenites and is living, catch this, at peace with the bad guys up north near where all this big battle is going to happen. So don't forget about Heber. Verse 12. When they told Sisera that Barak, son of Abinoam, had gone up to Mount Tabor, there's some spies about, Sisera gathered together his 900 iron chariots and all the men with him from Harosheth Hagoyim to the Kishon River. Time for war. Then Deborah said to Barak, go! This is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you? So Barak went down Mount Tabor, followed by 10,000 men. Run to the battle. Now 10,000 men sounds like a lot. But if Sisera's got 900 chariots, just chariots, he's probably got a lot more men. What's going to happen? Verse 15, key verse of this chapter. At Barak's advance, the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and army by the sword, and Sisera abandoned his chariot and fled on foot. Now, we aren't told how hear how this happened. Just that it did. I mean, I want the action movie version. I want to see how it all played out. Okay? It just says happened. Chapter 5 is going to tell us poetically that there was some nature involved, creational warfare. But verse 15 gives us the most important data, what we need to hear. The Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and army. We run to the battle, but the battle is the Lord's. We run to the battle, but the battle is the Lord's. Poor Sisera. 900 chariots, and he has to take off on foot to get away. Verse 16. But Barak pursued the chariots and army as far as Harosheth Hagoyim. All the troops of Sisera fell by the sword. Not a man was left, except for the mighty Sisera himself. Barak will not get the honor of striking him down. Because he hesitated, that honor will go to a woman. Verse 17. Sisera, however, fled on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite. Remember him from verse 11? Because they were friendly relations, peace, between Jabin, king of Hazor, and the clan of Heber, the Kenite. Sisera thinks, it should be safe here. I'm so glad I made it here. Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, "Come, my lord, come right in. Don't be afraid." So he entered her tent and she put a covering over him. "I'm thirsty," he said. "Please get me some water." She opened a skin of milk, gave him a drink, and covered him up. "Stand in the doorway of the tent," he told her. "If someone comes by and asks you, 'Is anyone here?' say no." But Jael, Heber's wife, picked up a tent peg and a hammer and went quietly to him while he lay fast asleep, exhausted. She drove the peg through his temple into the ground, and guess what? He died. Barak came by in pursuit of Sisera. And Jael went out to meet him. "Come," she said, "I'll show you the man you're looking for." So he went in with her, and there lay Sisera with the tent peg through his temple, dead. On that day, God subdued Jabin, the Canaanite king, before the Israelites. And the hand of the Israelites grew stronger and stronger against Jabin, the Canaanite king, until they destroyed him. Just like God said. Now, Judges chapter 5 tells the same story over again, but this time in poetic song format. Judges 5 gives us a very different perspective on the story. Not conflicting, but complementary, but very different. It also gives us some more details. Chapter 5, the Song of Deborah. On that day, Deborah and Barak, son of Abinoam, sang this song. Should I sing it to you? Don't worry, I won't. When the princes in Israel take the lead, when the people willingly offer themselves, praise the Lord. What is she saying? When the leaders of Israel run to the battle, praise the Lord. When they volunteer to fight for the Lord, praise the Lord. Verse 3. Hear this, you kings. Listen, you rulers, I will sing to the Lord. I will sing. I will make music to the Lord, the God of Israel. O Lord, when you went out from Seir, when you marched from the land of Edom, the earth shook, the heavens poured, the clouds poured down water, the mountains quaked before the Lord, the one of Sinai, before the Lord, the God of Israel. Deborah and Barak's song starts way back at Mount Sinai. As God majestically marches with His people up from the mount where He gave them the Ten Commandments, up through Edom, up to the Promised Land. It's a flyover, poetic version of the books of Numbers and Deuteronomy and Joshua. And then it lands here in Judges, verse 6. In the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the roads were abandoned. Travelers took to winding paths. Village life in Israel ceased until I, Deborah, arose a mother in Israel. When they chose new gods, war came to the city gates, and not a shield or spear was seen among 40,000 in Israel. In other words, life had become very difficult. You couldn't take the highway because the Canaanites ruled the land. You had to take the back roads. And why? Oh, because Israel had chosen new gods. And it had brought not peace and prosperity, but war. And they had disarmed them. No shields or spears for the troops. What will happen? Deborah sings, "My heart is with Israel's princes, with the willing volunteers." That's key. Willing volunteers among the people. "Praise the Lord, you who ride on white donkeys, you rich leader types, sitting on your saddle blankets. And you who walk along the road, the poor folks, consider the voice of the singers at the watering places. They recite the righteous acts of the Lord, the righteous acts of His warriors in Israel." Then the people of the Lord went down to the city gates. Wake up! Wake up, Deborah! You imagine the song? They would have loved this. The Hebrew people would have just loved this song. I bet they love chapter 5 more than they love chapter 4. We read chapter 5 and we're like, I'm not sure I get it. But they would have got it. This is in their heart language. Wake up! Wake up, Deborah! Wake up! Wake up! Break out in song! Arise, O Barak! Take captive your captives, O son of Abinoab! Run to the battle! Run to the battle, you willing volunteers! Verse 13. Then the men who were left come down to the nobles. The people of the Lord came to me with the mighty. Deborah sings. Who came? Some came from Ephraim, whose roots were in Amalek. Benjamin was with the people who followed you. From Machir, captains came down. From Zebulun, those who bear a commander's staff. Do you see what she's doing? She's singing about the 12 tribes. Sometimes she names the tribe. Sometimes she names a famous city from that tribe. And she's saying, all of Israel has been called. Who will answer the call? The princes of Issachar were with Deborah. Yes, Issachar was with Barak, rushing after him into the valley. In the districts of Reuben, there was much searching of heart. Should we? Shouldn't we? Why did you stay among the campfires to hear the whistling for the flocks? In the districts of Reuben, there was much searching of heart. Gilead stayed beyond the Jordan. And Dan, why did he linger by the ships? Asher remained on the coast and stayed in his coves. The people of Zebulun risked their very lives. So did Naphtali on the heights of the field. Kings came, they fought. The kings of Canaan fought at Taanach by the waters of Megiddo. But they carried off no silver, no plunder. Why? Because God ran to the battle. From the heavens, the stars fought. From their courses, they fought against Sisera. The river Kishon swept them away. The age-old river, the river Kishon. March on, O my soul. Be strong. Then thundered the horse's hoofs. Galloping, galloping, go his mighty steeds. Curse Meroz, said the angel of the Lord. A city in the north that should have come to the aid of Barak. Curse its people bitterly because they did not come to help the Lord, to help the Lord against the mighty. Curse Meroz, but bless Jael. She ran to the battle. Verse 24. Most blessed of women be Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, most blessed of tent-dwelling women. He asked for water and she gave him milk. In a bowl fit for nobles, she brought him curdled milk. Her hand reached for the tent peg. Her right hand for the workman's hammer. Can you see it? Let's sing it. She struck Sisera. She crushed his head. She shattered and pierced his temple. At her feet he sank. He fell. There he lay. At her feet he sank. He fell. Where he sank. There he fell. Dead. One more verse to this song. A song of triumph and victory over cruel, Satan-powered enemies. Verse 28. Through the window peered Sisera's mother. Behind the lattice she cried out, "Why is his chariot so long in coming? Why is the clatter of his chariots delayed?" The wisest of her ladies answered her. Indeed, she keeps saying to herself, "Are they not finding and dividing the spoils? A girl or two for each man, colorful garments as plunder for Sisera, colorful garments embroidered, highly embroidered garments for my neck, and all this as plunder." No, that's not what's going on. Sisera and his men are not raping Israel once again. Sisera has been defeated by a woman with a bowl of milk and a tent peg. Verse 31. So may all your enemies perish, O Lord. But may they who love you be like the sun when it rises in its strength. Then the Lord had peace for 40 years. Cycle of the judges, last one peace. Do you see the pattern? If you run to the battle, you will be blessed. But those who did not run from the battle were not blessed. They were called out and chastened by the song of Deborah. Some of them were even cursed by the Lord. Do you notice the shame in verses 15, 16, and 17 on Reuben and Gilead and Dan and Asher? And verse 23 on Meroz, because they didn't run to the battle. God called them to do something and they didn't show up. They didn't volunteer. They weren't willing. They wimped out. Almost call this sermon, "Don't Wimp Out." Now they thought about it. Verse 16 says that in the districts of Reuben, there was much searching of heart, but they couldn't be counted on when it counted. Are you running to the battle? We don't have to discuss Jael's methods much because we know that our battles today are not with flesh and blood like Jael's were. But God definitely pronounced her blessed because she lifted her hand against God's enemies. Where the men of Reuben and Meroz couldn't be bothered to leave the nice whistling songs by the campfire, sounds really nice, Jael took up a tent peg in the service of the Lord. Most blessed of women be Jael. When you run to the battle, you are blessed. The battle for us is a battle against sin. It's a battle to share the gospel with the world. We have a Shamgar and a Jael here with us today. These two ran to the battle for the last 8 years. They went to the front lines and we celebrate them today. Thank you for serving the Lord. But you don't have to go to Asia to be on the front lines either. So many of you ran to the battle here at Family Bible Week. You could be counted on when it counted. Thank you for serving the Lord. As Keith said, we need volunteers, willing volunteers for the Good News Cruise. Will you show up for the battle? How about this week at work? That's the front lines too. Not just to make a buck, but to witness for the Lord in word and deed. It's scary, I know. I'm scared too. It's easy to get up here and preach at you, but it's a lot harder to talk about Jesus out there. But that's where the blessing comes. It comes when we run to the battle. But what about Barak? He hesitated. Was that good? No. He forfeited blessing that could be his. And so do you and I so often. We don't realize what blessings could be ours just because we trusted God and ran headlong into the battle. But Barak was blessed too, wasn't he? Because he had faith. He did go. He hesitated. And then he ran forward. If you have hesitated to run into the battle, don't fear that all is lost. Just do it now. Go, get into the game. Get out of the bleachers and into the playing field. Now, I don't know what this sermon means for you specifically, but I'll bet you do. Run to the battle. The author of Hebrews says in chapter 11 that he didn't have time to tell about the faith of guys like Barak, who through faith conquered kingdoms and became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Barak believed, and he was blessed. Run to the battle. Because we run to the battle, but the battle is the Lord's. Number three and last, rejoice in the Lord's victory over his enemies. That's the point of chapter 5, this whole song of Deborah. The battle was won by God. He stirred up the river Kishon and swept away the 900 chariots. He arranged the battleground. He called the shots of where the battle was going to take place and who was going to win. He brought his own weapons against his enemy, Sisera. The stars fought. The river fought. God sovereignly arranged where Heber would live. Even though Heber had made a treaty with Jabin, his wife sure hadn't, Sisera just happened to run by Jael's tent. Nothing just so happens. Verse 31, so may all your enemies perish, O Lord, but may they who love you be like the sun when it rises in its strength. Rejoice in the salvation of the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord's victory over His enemies. Sing! We've done it this morning, we're going to do it again. Sing! God did it! God saved His people. Verse 3, hear this, you kings. Listen, you rulers. I will sing to the Lord. I will sing. I'll make music to the Lord, the God of Israel. Here's the point. If these guys should rehearse the salvation they received and rejoice in the victory the Lord had over these kind of minor bad guys, then how much more should you and I rehearse the details of our salvation and rejoice in the Lord's amazing victory over Satan and over sin at the cross and the empty tomb? Christians should write the best songs because we have the best thing to sing about. The victory of the Lord over all of His enemies, past, present, and still to come. Jesus shall reign. Rejoice. God did it. It looked like Jabin would win. It looked like Sisera would win. It looked like Satan would win. Jesus died on the cross. He died. The serpent struck His heel. But the seed of the woman crushed the serpent's head. So may all your enemies perish, O Lord. But may those who love you be like the sun when it rises in its strength. Run to the battle and then rejoice in the Lord's victory.